Hi, everybody. Welcome to Growing in Grace Together. This is something that I have not done for a while. My name is Joel Brzezicki, and Growing in Grace Together, we obviously have the Growing in Grace podcast, something that I do every week with Mike Kapler, and something, again, that I haven't done in a while. I would invite guests on and just chat with them one-on-one, and I have an opportunity to do that again with a man that I've spoken with one time, but I really connected with the things that he talks about and that he likes to share about, and I think this will be a wonderful opportunity for the Growing in Grace listeners to hear some really good insights on life in Christ. The gentleman I have with me is Torben Jensen. Did I say that right?
You got it.
Okay, and Transformative Truth, the name of your podcast. And so people can find that. And so just for starters here, real briefly, I noticed, of course, that you have a little bit of an accent. could you briefly give us a little introduction to yourself, where you're from, what you're about, and then we'll just kind of get into a chat here.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, my name is Torben Jensen, as you said it very well. So I grew up in Denmark, so in Northern Europe. So Denmark, the small little kingdom, 6 million people, part of Scandinavia up there in the northern part of Europe. And I was blessed to grow up in a Christian home, which is a rare thing in Denmark. Denmark really at this point is what people in the missions world would call a post-Christian society. And very, very few people are true believers. On paper, it looks like a lot of Danes are believers, but that's because there is an evangelical state church that kids are baptized into as infants. So on paper, it looks like 80% of the Danes are Christians. In reality, that has nothing to do with that. But yeah, I was blessed to grow up in a Christian home there and lived in Denmark the first 26 years of my life. And then the last 23 years of my life, I've then been blessed to work in various kind of ministry, missions ministry, counseling ministry, discipleship training ministry, and to be able to do that on a global scale as well. I've worked all over the world, and live here in Nashville, Tennessee, with my wife of 20 years. Her name is Jeanette, and then we have three sons that are 14 and 11 and 8.
Oh, excellent. So living in Nashville now, and that's quite a neat place to have found yourself in, getting there from Northern Europe. So you have a podcast, and I understand you also have written a book, and your book is about the topic of forgiveness. And so maybe we can talk a little bit about that, maybe some things that you'd like to talk about on your podcast. I'm really open to anything. We've talked about this, just like I said, when we talked before, when we first met. By the way, it was a man named Ralph Harris, a mutual friend that connected us together and got us chatting together. And so I'm thankful for the ministry of Ralph Harris and that he got us together here. So as far as what are the types of things that are on your heart that you like to talk about, that you like to share with other people? Obviously, doing a podcast, you communicate. I know you've also you've talked to me about how you just chat with other people, whether it's when you're driving, whether it's doing other things. So maybe you can just share some things, and maybe that will encourage some of our listeners.
Yeah, I would love to. So my ministry and my podcast that's part of that ministry is called Transformative Truth. And that's what everything I do is about that. The goal really is for people to experience Jesus as a transformative reality in every sphere of life. My experience working in ministry and working with people from every type of church background that you can imagine, I've truly worked with all of them in the last 23 years, everything from very, very conservative men in this side of the church, women in this side of the church, King James only, to we're going to all fall in the spirit and everybody is naming and claiming and all sorts of charismatic stuff and sort of the other end of that spectrum. But what I have seen when I look across the board of my experience working in ministry and working with with a lot of Christians as a counselor, as a discipleship trainer as well, is that for most people, Jesus is sort of seen as an interior designer. So he has access to maybe one room, maybe two rooms. He has nothing to do with everything else. And really, how it is, it seems like so many people have that view of God, that experience with Jesus, that he is part of their lives in very sort of limited ways. And my ministry, my dream for everyone that I encounter in whatever way it might be, is for us to actually get to experience Jesus making a real, radical, tangible, measurable difference in our lives. If Jesus doesn't make a difference in how I am as a man, how I am as a friend, how I am as a parent, how I am as a dad, none of this really matters, right? When I teach discipleship training in different contexts, I love having my wife there. And I'll always say that to people, where it's just like, hey, all of you listening here, you have carte blanche. You can go over and ask my wife any question about me. There are no secrets here. And if she can't vouch for what I'm talking about, if what I'm talking about doesn't make a difference in a way that's beneficial to her and to my boys, you shouldn't listen to me at all. So that's sort of the idea behind the Ministry of Transformative Truth, that the goal with everything we do within the ministry is that we want to introduce people to Christ in a way where they actually get to experience him making a difference in all those little details of our lives. I remember I talked to a gentleman once, and he was a leader of a ministry in a large church, leader of the men's ministry. And I remember talking to him, and we were talking about surrender to God. And it was sort of just a good example of this, where he said to me that I had talked about how we'd moved here to Nashville, and why had we moved here? Because God had told us to move here. We had no other reason to move to Nashville other than just following what God had told us to do. But I remember him then looking at me and saying, no, Tom, I know how that is, because we are fully surrendered to God as well. And I'm like, okay, so what do you mean by that? And he said to me that, yeah, we've said to God that we're willing to live in any of these three counties. And then he said, the county that we live in now, the county my parents live in, and the county my wife's parents live in. So it's just an example of that, where it's just like, I looked it up afterwards. I think there's like 3,148 counties in the United States. It's like, it's roughly 0.9% of all the counties that they're willing to live in. They call that fully surrender to God, right? And it's just an example of that, where Jesus, of course, has not then penetrated all areas of life, right? If you think that's being fully surrendered to God, of course it's not. Remember another person, a person I talked to, this was a counselee who told me that, she was like, why do we have to talk about surrender to God? What does it mean to, like, again, I'm fully surrendered to God. Like, hey, I'm willing to go and live in a mud hut in Uganda. I'm like, that's great. What about all the other areas of your life? And she was like, what do you mean? Is there more? It was just a very honest sort of question she had there. But yes, there is more. And yes, Jesus is someone who wants to actually infiltrate every area of our lives, right? Where how we do everything is affected by the relationship we have with Christ and the fact that we rest in who we are in Christ. So the ministry is based on exchange life truths that, of course, the listeners will be familiar with, and is learning from that foundation. Then what does that then look like? How does that then change how we parent? How does that change how we are as friends? How does that change how we behave at work? How does knowing Jesus and resting in him, how does that change everything in all these different spheres of our lives? So that's what the ministry is about now.
All right. So if I would back up a little bit, I know some of our listeners might be a little concerned, but I'd like to give you an opportunity to, some people would interpret that, if they have more of a grace-minded mindset, as just a legalistic thing. I got to do this. I have to do this. I have to change. I have to do that. And I know that that's not where you're coming from. So you're not talking about a legalistic, well, Christ is my master, and so I must now change? I know that that's not where you're coming from, but I know a lot of people, a lot of people tend to look at it like that. You're talking more of a transformative life where you know Jesus, and you're not just limiting him as far as he can do this, this, or this in my life, but I'm open to the realm of experiences, of opportunities, of things that he would want to do in and through me. I think, is that more where you're coming? Is that what you're, I'll let you speak for yourself.
Exactly. And I think that that's part of what we in Exchange Life circles, I think sometimes we can get a little, and we can sort of get scared because we're like, oh gosh, we're going to sound as if we're saying something we're not really saying. So mm-hmm. let me make sure that I explain clearly what I am saying and what I'm not saying. So Jesus living inside of us, in our spirit, being at the very core of who we are, what he wants to do then over time, again, he wants to then actually allow the truth of who we are, the fact that we're holy, pure, perfect, and righteous, he wants that to infiltrate every area of our lives, every area of our thinking, every area of our thoughts and our feelings and all of it. He wants to bring healing. He wants to bring restoration. He wants to saturate all of us with the truth. And that then is supposed to also be something that other people can see. If it's not something that other people can see, if they can't see that the fact that you live a life where Jesus is your life and Jesus is in charge of every aspect of your life, if that doesn't make a real difference that other people can see, it's not real, right? Again, it has to be something that causes us to live differently. And I think that's where sometimes, again, we have to be careful that we don't think that every time we look at the fact that, of course, we are on a journey, there are parts of our journey that are done. The fact that we are holy, pure, perfect, and righteous, and that we're fully righteous in Christ, all of that is done. All of that is a done deal, and nothing is going to be changed about that. But of course, we're on a journey as far as then getting to experience that in reality now. Again, learning to live in that, learning to rest in that, learning to walk into any situation knowing, okay, Jesus is with me, Jesus is in me, and I'm going to walk into this just anticipating that Jesus wants to do something through me. And I think that's what we're talking about here, where it's not a matter of having some sort of long list of I have to do this, I have to do that. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Again, I remember the difference when I joined Youth with a Mission, the world's largest missions organization, back 23 years ago. I remember the pressure that I felt, where it's like you're standing there on street corners and I'm going to talk about Jesus. I didn't know Jesus. I knew a good bit about him because I've been in church my entire life. I didn't know him. And I felt that pressure. I felt that I should be doing this. I should be saying that. And then if you fast forward to today, where now part of I have a part-time job driving Uber here in Nashville. So Nashville, for those of you who haven't been here yet, it's at this point really one of the most populous cities in America. So you have billions of tourists coming here every year. So every weekend, there's tons of people in Nashville, and I get to have opportunities to drive them around and talk to them. I feel no pressure. But what happens over and over again is when you walk into those situations, anticipating that Jesus, of course, he makes a difference in my life, and it's something that other people even can sense, even if they don't know Jesus. I've had that happen so many times where people will then say, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but. And now, before you know it, they sit and tell me about an affair they're having. They sit and tell me about something going on that's difficult in their marriage, in their parenting, in their relationships, in their business, or in their faith journey themselves, right? And I don't have anything in my car saying, Jesus, there are no tracts, there's no Bibles, there's nothing. There's just the Holy Spirit that, of course, is there with me, causes people then to feel safe. They start sharing something, and what I'll do every time, I'll just ask them, hey, do you mind me sharing what I'm hearing? So, and then I have opportunities to share with them about Jesus, share with them about what God might be wanting to say into whatever situation it is we've just talked about. But all of that is with no pressure. There's no stress. There's no should. There's no have to. There's no must. There's no, like, I got to make sure, and it's a failed evening if I didn't do this and this and this and sort of check the boxes. And that's how I thought of it when I thought of sort of, I got to serve Christ growing up as well. So it's not from a place of pressure. It's not from a place of do's and don'ts and have to's and anything like that. It's from a pleasure. It's from a place of resting in that. But it's also from a place of anticipating and expecting that God wants to do something through you. That when you walk into any given situation, that's where it's come to in my life now. Whatever it is I go to, no matter where I am, I always ask the same question whenever I walk into a room. I was like, okay, Jesus, there's going to be one or two people here that you want me to talk to. Who are those? No stress, no pressure. I just know that's how it is. So it always seems to work out that way, that I'll end up in conversations with people who are ready typically then to explore the deeper questions of life. Very often they have something that they're struggling with, and they want to share that with me. They've never met me before, but before we know it, they're in the middle of sharing something with me. And why do they do that? They do that because they feel safe. They do that because they sense that, hey, this person is walking in the presence of God. And it is something that is attractive to people who are suffering, who are hurting, and who are looking for someone who will engage with them and who's not going to be scared by their pain or by their questions or by addictions or whatever they might be struggling with, right? But none of this is from any place of pressure or any sort of like demands or anything like that. But I think a genuine experience of living from who you are in Christ is something where, as we rest in that, as we abide in that truth, it should cause people around us to see it, to notice it. When the Bible talks about fruit, it's a very sort of tangible picture, right? That there should be fruit. If there is no fruit, if there's nothing about our lives that is appealing, attractive, causing people around us to ask questions, I think there's something wrong. I think there's something where we're not in tune with who Christ is and what he wants to do in us and through us.
So do you think that this is going to be look and be different in different people? I mean, obviously you're talking about how at one point you felt pressured to share the gospel. You felt pressured, and then for you now it's just more of a natural or really a supernatural thing with you, where you're anticipating Jesus doing something. Would somebody else who maybe is gifted differently or has, you know, one thing we talked about previously when you and I chatted together was how we're wired differently, being how God has wired us, you know, living that. And so the fruit, the how it is lived out, it's going to look different in different people. And also the timing of it all. I know that people have talked about there being seasons in the life of a believer. So it's not always good. You're not just always bearing fruit, pressure to, I got to bear fruit. Mm. You know, fruit is wonderful. And it is obviously comes from knowing God. You know, he produces the fruit, and we have the honor, the privilege of bearing the fruit that the vine produces in and through us. So in your experience in talking with people and in counseling and just in the Christian life in general, have you seen that this looks different in different people?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, again, it's a super important point as well, because there could be people listening to this as well, and they could hear what I'm sharing, and they'll be like, okay, so if I'm not like Torben, if I don't have that level of confidence to sit and talk to complete strangers about their life story and ask, in my case, very often, very sort of pointed questions that God wants me to ask. Like the other day, I talked to, again, a complete stranger, and he was sharing about his relationship with his girlfriend that had fallen apart, and now they're essentially living as strangers. And I asked some very pointed questions into that, where it's like, he could have gotten really, really mad at me. I know, I sense that he needed those questions for the conversation to continue and for him really to be challenged in some ways that he needed to be challenged in his heart and in how he was approaching this relationship. But lots of people, again, that's not how God has wired them, right? So that would be, again, absolutely, that's important to stress that. This is, again, all I can share about is, of course, my own experience with how God has wired me and how he uses me to speak to other people, to help other people, to talk to other people. But I think God's goal for all of us as we abide in him is exactly the same, that he wants us to connect with people in our sphere of influence. And our sphere of influence can be large, it can be small, it can be two people, it can be thousands of people. And there's nothing wrong in either way, right? Where it's just like my wife, for instance, is a much more private person than I am. And very often her connections are with just a few women that she gets in touch with. Again, she has some women at our church where they're sort of in a similar sort of situation, but my wife has something to offer to these people in terms of just knowing how to talk honestly about what's going on in their marriages, in their families. She has a way of getting behind the sort of religious cliches that so often keep people from being honest and real with each other. But she would never do that in front of people. She would never do that with complete strangers. She does it in a very sort of relational way, just offering her insights, and very often just by sharing about how we do things in our family, right? Where it's not a matter of even just like, hey, you, there's this and this and this I'm pointing out in your life, but even just sharing about how we do life as a family. What are the values that are important to us as a family? What is the vision we have for our family? And what are some of the choices that we make based on that? Like, for instance, for her, at times she'll talk to people and they'll talk about how busy they are. And again, we have 3 sons, 14, 11, and 8. But she'll say as well that we're never busy. And that can sound a little weird because, like, everybody's busy in 2026, right? We're not. Why is that? It's because this is a value for us. This is part of our vision for our family, that we will not allow life to be go, 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 go. So therefore, we have made choices accordingly. And that is, for instance, an example of something that people, that women around her then ask questions about. They're like, so why is that, right? What does that then lead to? That often leads to just conversations about saying like, hey, we're not in this striving mentality. We don't think we have to do all sorts of things for God. We know who we are. We know whose we are. And we want our sons to grow up in that reality. And that is much more important than them being a part of this activity or that activity or go on this trip or do that. We know that our primary role as parents and as discipleship trainers, we want them to know who they are in Christ. So everything is then funneled through that. And that then comes out in the way that we run our family. But yeah, she's a very different person from me. And there'll be people where Christ wants to touch people around them in all sorts of different ways. I think of a gentleman I know well, that I did a discipleship training program through an Exchange Life ministry in Atlanta years ago. This is 18 years ago. And this gentleman, his name is, I can't remember his name, Carrie Odom. And it was the funniest thing, because we sat next to each other and we were in this 9-week Exchange Life training program. And Carrie has always lived in the same street, like always. He literally lived 3 houses down from his parents and has adult kids and has lived there forever. And then there's me, this world-traveling crazy person who's lived all over the world and has lived in, I don't know, 25 different places in my lifetime. And it was so fun just to sort of compare notes. We could not be more different from each other as far as like our personalities or ways of expressing ourselves. But what was so beautiful was just to see that how Jesus made a difference and touched people through Carrie in the everyday life, in the community he lived in. Of course, he lives from a small town in Georgia. Everybody knows everybody there. And he was connected in such beautiful ways to people and had opportunities to share about Christ, share about what it is to rest in who you are in Christ in ways that I would never have, because like I've lived all over the place and I don't typically get to stay in a place for very long at a time. Like the fact that we've stayed 6 years in the same house, and that's coming to an end here in a few weeks, is a new record for me in my adult life. I have never stayed 6 years in the same place. Never.
Wow.
But that's just, I just remember thinking about that with Carrie, where it's just like, God could not be expressing himself sort of in more different people, but we were united in the fact that we know who we are in Christ, we know who Jesus is, and our desire is to share that with people around us, not from a place of any kind of pressure, just from a place of we love other people, we want them as well to know what does it look like to actually know Jesus in a way where he is fully in charge and he gets to lead and direct.
All right. I do think it's very helpful when people allow each other that freedom to be who they were. Many years ago, so this year my wife and I will have been married 30 years, and in that first decade, I remember having some counseling, and the counselor said something that has always stuck with me. It really revolutionized things for me, in that trying to think of how he put it. Maybe I'll just put it in my own words, that God didn't put two alike people together. He put two very different people together, and it's not my job to try to be like her, and it's not her job to try to be like me, but the way that I am, he created me for her. The way that she is, he created her for me, and we need to let each other be who they are. And so then we were able to start growing in understanding who we were, you know, instead of having that tension of always walking on pins and needles, you know, trying to figure out what am I supposed to do, you know, here. But it's just be who you are and grow in that, learn who you are in Christ and as a person and how he has wired you, be that person. And you got to compromise. There are areas when you knock heads and you have to come to solutions, but overall you get to be who you are instead of trying to force that other person to be something that you think they should be, or having them try to force you to be something too. I think it's great to when people have that freedom to be themselves.
And I think for me it has been a big learning curve for me in ministry as well, since I joined this Exchange Life ministry down in Georgia. I remember coming there and I had learned about Exchange Life Truth just a year before at a four-week seminar in England that my wife and I were blessed to be a part of. And Jesus, when he had then invited us to leave Ukraine, where we had lived as missionaries and then moved to America, I then connected with Grace Ministries down in Georgia. And I remember when I got on board as a counselor there, and I remember I was like, I just sitting there, it's like, okay, so it seems like everybody else, they're kind, quiet, and contemplative. And those are just not three primary words that anybody will put on me. Again, you can call me a lot of things, but kind, quiet, and contemplative is probably not going to be the top three. And that was a real struggle for me, because I was sitting there and comparing myself to people, even in Exchange Life circles, right? Where it's like, oh gosh, I should probably be a little bit more like that and a little bit less like that. And I had to come through that sort of process for me as well, of finding out, okay, so what does it look like for me to be authentically me? And my version of counseling, my version of coaching, my version of discipleship training, my version of doing Grace Life and Exchange Life conferences is very different from a lot of other people that I know, where it's just like, if I have notes, if I have like a book I have to follow and that type of stuff, that doesn't work for me. That's not how God wired me. There's nothing wrong in having notes. Notes are great. Notes are beautiful. For me, it doesn't work, because it takes away the freedom for me to just be in that moment and go with that flow that God will then show me that's there. That took a while there, because it was difficult, because I'm like, what they're doing and the way they are, that's really, really good. And I'm like, yes, it was. It was super, super good for these people, because that's how God had wired them. And they were authentically like that. And then there's me. I had to then find my own way of looking to God and just be like, okay, so you created me with this personality, with these gifts, with these abilities, with these experiences. How do you want to use those in your ministry? Who is it that you want me to be able to reach that maybe other people would not be able to reach? And I think very often has come down to that because of the person I am, and I'm a very honest, real, straightforward, transparent kind of guy. And very often those are the people that I've had the best counseling and relationship with as well. Those who needed that kind of brutal honesty, those who needed that kind of a person who was going to be willing to call things what they really are, who was not going to beat around the bush. But again, that would not be everybody's cup of tea. For some people, that would be a little much, and they would prefer to have someone who's a bit more structured and a little bit more, okay, I can predict what this person's going to do and what the process is going to look like. You can't do that with me because that's not how God wired me. And it doesn't mean it's completely random. It just means that it's led by God in a moment by moment way where there's not like some sort of like, here's a 10-step plan for the next 10 weeks. I will right. not be able to give that to anybody. And there's nothing wrong in that, but there's also nothing wrong in those who live and work and do ministry in that way. I love people who are well-organized. I'm not one of them, mm-hmm. but I absolutely love them because I'm like, gosh, you bring so much to the body of Christ. You bring so much to the world with your dedication, with your sense of organizing. And as I've always said to people in ministry, if anything I'm a part of is well-organized, it's because my wife is all over it. It's not because of me. That would not be my strength. And that's, I think, is part of something for all of us to learn as we grow and mature in who we are in Christ. Or it's like, it's okay to just be honest about that. Sometimes I make people in ministry a little bit laugh a little bit because I'm very honest about what I'm gifted at and what I'm not gifted at. So I'll say no to different suggestions people have. Hey, do you want to do this? Do you want to come preach here? Do you want to come teach here? It'll be like, if you're looking for sort of a word by word preaching of Romans or whatever, I know lots of people who are really, really good at that. I'm not good at that. So I'm going to say no. And sometimes that surprises people because they're sort of used to people in ministry will say yes to anything. It's like any opportunity to. And I'm like, yeah, I probably would have done that maybe 20 years ago. But now I'm like, it makes no sense. Much better for me to sort of stick with what I'm gifted at and where Jesus expresses himself through me in an authentic way. And then refer to other people who are like, wow, that is so where Jesus just makes a difference through them. You should definitely invite them to come and be a part of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've talked about some really interesting and encouraging things here. Thanks to Torben for joining me. We'll have more next time. We're going to cut this conversation up into two parts. Really encouraging to hear Torben talking about the transformation that comes from the life of Christ that's in us, and of course, how it can look differently in each and every one of us. If you want to find out more about Torben, check out his website, transformativetruth.com, and we'll be back next time in about a week with the second half of our conversation where he will share more about his upcoming book on the radical freedom that comes through forgiveness. So stay tuned for that next week on Growing in Grace Together.